St. Augustine writes in the Office of Readings that the passion of our Lord Jesus and Savior, that of our Lord and Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ, is the hope of glory and a lesson in patience. The passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the hope of glory and a lesson in patience. He says, what may not the hearts of believers promise themselves as the gift of God's grace, when for their sake God's only Son, co-eternal with the Father, was not content only to be born as man from human stock, but even died at the hands of the men he had created? I don't think we realize so many times how big this switch has been, the fact that Christ himself, the second person of the Trinity, has taken on our human flesh so that we may have his life. He said, it is a great thing that we are promised by the Lord, but far greater what has already been done for us and which we are now commemorating. We were sinners, as St. Paul says, when Christ died for us. All of us who have been born after the death of Christ were sinners first, and Christ died for us even then. He says, who is Christ if not the Word of God? We read in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. This Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. As we know, in the Incarnation, our Lord took on our human flesh. He, being God before, had no power to be able to die beforehand. As God, he did not suffer anything. He did not have any need. And yet he did not have any possibility of dying. And yet he, who is life itself, seeing our miserable and pitiable condition, chose to come to this world to take on our poor human flesh so that he could die for us. He took on our death. He was born so that he could die for us. And in dying for us, he gave us his life. Even though he was immortal, because he took on our human flesh, he was able to die. And therefore he gives us his divine life to us poor mortal men. He would first share with us so that we could then share with him his life. St. Augustine says, of ourselves we had no power to live, nor did he of himself have the power to die. It's as if we were in two totally separate worlds, two totally separate conditions, possibilities. We could not live more than in this life with our mortal life, and he was not able to die. And yet, seeing us and loving us so much, he decided to take on our life so as to die for us. So this is the most wonderful exchange that he has made with us. Through us, he died. And through him, we shall live. And St. Augustine says that the death of our Lord God should not be a cause of shame for us. Rather, it should be our greatest hope and our greatest glory. In taking upon himself the death he found in us, he has most faithfully promised to give us life in him, such as we cannot have of ourselves. He loved us so much that, sinless himself, he suffered for us sinners the punishment we deserved for our sins. He took on our sin. And this we'll meditate even tomorrow, even more. But you can never begin too much. And like I said, we can never... We always have need of going deeper and realizing how much He loves us. And the fact that my sins, which would have brought me death, He has taken that on. He was sinless. And yet has taken on all of my sins and all of the sins of all of humanity. How can He then fail to give us the reward we deserve for our righteousness? Because He is then the source of our righteousness. He gives us His life, His righteousness. St. Paul says that, "Let me not boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." We have the greatest gift possible in His death, because He's given us His life. I live because He died. I have the possibility of going to heaven because He died for me. Do I really realize that He's taken my place? He's died for love of me so I can live. And obviously, I think the greatest problem is that we, living in this world, we don't have a true vision of faith. And so that's what sometimes hinders us from really realizing the gift of this life that He's given us, the gift of grace here in this earth that we receive through the sacraments, but then the gift of eternal life once we die. We can live forever, eternally with Him. So the cross of Christ should never be a reason for our shame, but rather the reason for our joy and boasting. And one of the things that strikes me most is to think of how He shed all His blood when He was on the cross. All that He suffered from the night of Gethsemane, the agony in the garden. All the pains, the blows He received from Thursday until Friday, until the point of being hung on the cross. St. Bridget of Sweden asked our Lord one time, she who was privileged to have so many revelations from our Lord, and as a saint, it's confirmed that this is true, how much and how many things the Lord said to her. She who was a great, very devout of our Lord's passion, she asked Him one time, how many blows did He receive during the passion? And the number He told her was more than 5,000. The total number of blows our Lord received during His passion was more than 5,000. And the fact that we know that His blood, He shed it to the last drop. And it's blood which makes us live. If we don't have blood running through our veins, we can't live. And yet, through His blood that He shed, He gave us His life. It's as if we've had a blood transfusion. And I can't help but remember the example of Father Colin when he had the blood transfusion because of his leukemia here in 2007. And he himself said he felt like he was Jesus on the cross because he had his arms extended like Jesus there in the hospital bed. And out of one arm was flowing the blood that was doing him harm in his body. And into the other arm was flowing the blood of his brother, the healthy blood that was going to allow him to live. And how that's what truly happens with us, even though not in that same sense, but Jesus gives us His blood, His life to live with. He takes our sin and He gives us life. And what sort of life do we live? Is it worthy of the blood of Christ? In the Magnificat, St. Francis de Sales says, he speaks of the invitation of Calvary. He says he mounted the cross through obedience and died on it through obedience. All those who are willing to be saved through the cross will find salvation there. But those who desire to be saved without it will perish miserably. There is no salvation except in this cross. Ah, miserable ones, says our Savior, you are asking me to descend from this wood that you may believe in me. You want a means of redemption other than the one that my Father has ordained from all eternity, one foretold by so many prophets and announced by so many figures. You intend then to be saved according to your will and not as God wills. That is not right. And for you, for it, you will die obstinate in your sins, and you will not find any pardon. Even though the pool is prepared for you, you refuse to cast yourself into it. Redemption is so open and so abundant that it overflows on all sides, yet you do not wish to wash yourself in it. How is it that, like he says, the pool is there prepared and it's there for us? All you have to do is throw yourself into it, and you choose not to. Poor miserable us if we choose not to wash ourselves in the blood of Christ. He who has given us this most wonderful exchange of gifts, where he gives us his death so that we may live. St. Francis continued and said, listen to this dear Savior who cries out that he is thirsting for our salvation, who awaits and invites us to come. Come, he says to us, if you wish, for if you do not come, you will not find salvation anywhere else. Why do you ask for a redemption other than that of the cross? Is the cross not sufficient? It is more than sufficient. A single tear, a single loving sigh from this sacred heart could have redeemed millions of thousands of sinful human and angelic natures. Nevertheless, he did not redeem us with just a single sigh or just a single tear, but with many, many labors and pains, with all his precious blood outpoured. So I invite you especially to meditate this exchange of gifts that our Lord has made us. He takes our death and dies himself so that we may live. And we have been bought with his blood. Your worth is the blood of Christ. But like I said, are we living worthily our life that he has given us? Is my life worthy of having his blood run through me? He tells us in the chapter of John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Because he calls us to remain in his love. Remain in my love, he says. Because there in his love, we will find his life. And he will draw us deeper and deeper always. But if we distance ourselves from him, he can't give us his love. He can't give us his life. His life will let us live eternally, which will let us live eternally. When we don't choose his life, we're choosing eternal death. So let us meditate now on this and see how this great exchange of gifts has been made to us. Our Lord is offering us this, and yet how many times do we not take and be grateful for such a great exchange of gifts? O admirable intercambio, O most wonderful exchange of gifts that He offers to us to die for love for us so that we may live. He shed all of His blood so that we may have His life run through us and to live with Him forever. Obviously, the greatest gift that we have because of His death is right here before us, the Eucharist. Because of Christ giving His body and shedding His blood on the cross for us, He also, on this night, instituted the gift of the Eucharist. He gives us to be nourished with His own body and His blood, which should make us fall even more in awe of this great gift that He's given us, that He even gives of Himself to us to eat, so that we can be nourished and have His life in us. And that should make me think, how much do I truly love our Eucharistic Lord? Do I do what I can to spend time with Him? Do I thank Him for the gift of the Eucharist? Especially if I'm a member of the Home of the Mother, and this is our first mission, is the defense of the Eucharist. Do I truly know the way that we can best defend our Lord is to know and love Him, to know what the Church teaches, and to help others know and love Him as well. So to ask yourself, do I truly know our Eucharistic Lord? Do I have that relationship with Him where I spend time with Him? I find my strength in Him. And if I can, I receive Him as often as possible so that I may have His life truly in me. Because the more that you receive Him in the Eucharist, it's like building a treasure in heaven. And the more glorious your treasure will be in heaven, the more you've received Him here on earth.